Hi everyone, and welcome to the first episode of One on One with Matthew Carriage, the sports podcast talking to some of the biggest names within the industry. I'm excited for you all to come on this journey with me as we explore the wonderful stories within sports. On our inaugural voyage, I spoke with St Kilda defender Callum Wilkie about his transition from part-time footballer with North Adelaide in the Sandful to being a key cog in the defensive six with the Saints. Callum hasn't missed a game since being taken pick 3 in the rookie draft back in 2018 and has endeared himself to the St Kilda faithful. I sat down with Callum back in January to discuss his journey to the AFL, what life was like in the bubble during COVID-19, and his hopes for the 2021 season. So Callum, the journey to become an AFL footballer was a long one for yourself, considering, you know, first 18s at the great Ross Trevor Footy Factory, which is, you know, we know is the best school in the South Australian area. Then making the journey, obviously, we all know this, and the main thing is that, you know, we want people to know that Ross Trevor is the school, not PAC, because we know they hand out scholarships like lunches and Sacred Heart are pretty good, but let's be honest, we know where the loyalty lies. You stuck with North Adelaide for quite a period of time. Was there a period where you started to doubt whether the potential dream of being an AFL footballer was kind of disappearing?
Yeah, definitely. You always lose hope, but I guess, you know, when years go by and, you know, having wasn't playing like elite standard of SANFL footy, sort of gave up in that dream or put it on the back burner and, you know, focus more on, I guess, having fun playing footy with my best mates at North Adelaide and giving them every chance to win a premiership. So, yeah, probably focus more, I guess, on my study and then from there my work when I became an accountant and then just focus well on, you know, helping North win a premiership. So yeah, I gave up the dream. I thought, you know, it was a bit unrealistic. There's only a few people each year from state league footies that get drafted into the system. So yeah, I pretty much had given up.
Come 2017 and you have a very strong season, second in the best and fairest at North Adelaide. And then the following year, 2018, the premiership, first time in 27 years that the Chooks had risen the cup and you were the best and fairest. After all you'd been through prior to that period, did it start to kind of take shape that, okay, maybe I didn't get through as a typical 17, 18-year-old, but now, you know, in my early 20s, the door was starting to open up that maybe the AFL might come calling?
Probably not until, I guess, mid-2018, when I had a good start to the year. And then, you know, I heard there was a little bit of interest. Coach Josh Carr told me that there's a few clubs asking around about me. So, and then had been in contact with, I think, one or two clubs. So that's probably when it did start to hit that there was a slight possibility, you know, of the dream coming back. But yeah, I guess not until, you know, your name gets called out on draft night, do you think it's an actual possibility, because, you know, missed the draft when I was 18. You sort of don't want to get your hopes up too much.
So as the rookie draft is taking place, you know, you're kind of waiting to see whether it's going to happen or not. Name is finally called. Take us through the emotions of, okay, I'm now going to be on an AFL list. And where was the mindset? Was it just, okay, I'm finally here, or okay, now the next step is to try and be in the 22 come round one?
Yeah, well, obviously it was a very emotional time. I was still at work, cleaning up my desk, ready to go home for the weekend. But yeah, I guess, you know, when the phone calls, it's more a bit of relief. You know, I thought I had a good year and I had spoken to a fair few clubs. So to then miss out on the national draft, and then to hear name or see the name, my name get called out on the rookie draft. Yeah, I guess to begin with, yeah, obviously a bit of relief, excitement. You sort of try and take it all in. Spent that night with friends and family, just sort of trying to take in the excitement. Probably not thinking, oh, now I'm going to get into the best 22. I probably sort of left that until I started preseason and therefore, but sort of just trying to take in the excitement that had been built up for quite a while.
I can only imagine, and that's kind of the beauty of it all is that as a sports loving fan, you don't really understand what it's like until you see someone you know you've either been to school with or you're really close with, and you can see that their hard work and determination to get to where they want to be, and to finally get to the level that they want is something very special. So I guess the thing is, I'd like to ask is first day at Moorabbin, what was that like for you? Because it's a new environment. You're obviously moving from Adelaide to Melbourne. What was it like walking through the doors at St Kilda?
Yeah, I don't know. It's obviously quite a surreal feeling knowing, I'd been watched AFL growing up my whole life, idolising people that played AFL, knowing for what, 5 years since not being drafted when I was 18, thinking that it's not for me. Yeah, my dream's done of playing AFL to, stepping through the doors and realising, I'm a part of it now. And then obviously, a bit overwhelmed in the sense that, wow, it's going to be, hard to crack into the 22 and play games. So yeah, it was a bit overwhelming, but excited at the same time.
I could imagine, and then there's the kind of first meeting with then coach Alan Richardson, who him and obviously list manager James Gallagher taking the chance to bring you into the club. What was that conversation like with Alan, and knowing that he'd believe that you were someone who was worthy of being on the list and someone who could play a role at some stage?
Yeah, I guess they sort of just highlight you're here for a reason. You have good qualities, you have good strengths that can benefit this team going forward. You obviously, you sort of get in there and sort of doubt yourself against the mainstays of the team. And I'm not as good as him. I'm not as good as them. They're better than me at that. So yeah, they just sort of try and instill confidence in you that you're supposed to be here. Which is huge. Confidence in a footballer and any athlete is probably one of the biggest things to help them succeed. So yeah, they just try and instill confidence, that my strengths and the player I am is ready to take it to the next step and play AFL.
How did you overcome those kind of like mental thoughts that you arrive, you see the likes of, Seb Ross, I guess Josh Bruce when he was there, Jake Carlisle, all these, very strong footballers. How did you overcome that thought of, okay, I need to not think about it as in, okay, they're better than me, but more so, they are part of the team and I want to be part of this team to help bring the club go forward.
It probably just happens over time, more trainings, you get comfortable with everyone. Yeah, it was, first couple of trainings, I thought, wow, we did a bit of a match sim and geez, the speed of the game's bloody quick compared to Test NFL, compared to what I was used to, but you just sort of get adjusted to it and you come to realize it's normal, and it starts to slow down a little bit. So yeah, it's just more trainings, spending more time with the players and getting to know them, being more comfortable around them. And then, yeah, once you start getting further into training, just get more comfortable. And I guess that's probably when strengths come out a bit and you put them on show for the coaches and stuff to see.
So you're in the preseason, you've got the JLT Community Series, which is the preseason competition, which I'm pretty sure for this year has been renamed again. It'll always be the Wizard Cup to me, but that's showing my age maybe a little bit. Play a few of those games. Round one is just around the corner. St Kilda are playing the Gold Coast Suns at Marvel or Etihad or the Telstra Dome or whatever name you want to call it, the Docklands even. When did you find out that you were going to be on the on the list of the 22 to play round one?
I reckon it was probably the Thursday before the Sunday game. Richo came to me in the weights and told me I was playing. I sort of had a little bit of an inkling probably throughout the week, obviously, because of the last RLT, Dylan Robertson went down with his heart condition, and both those JLTs, I was the extra number that you were allowed to play in the JLT. I was probably that extra defender. So I sort of thought, you know, maybe if someone did go down, which obviously, you know, wasn't hoping for, but unfortunately for Dylan, with his heart condition, he wasn't able to play. So I had a little bit of an inkling that it might be me, but obviously not until Richo obviously told me, did I think I'd be playing. So yeah, obviously quite a awesome feeling. Didn't think it was going to happen, you know, round one. And yeah, so all sort of happening really fast, but excited for what was going to come.
It is quite interesting because you hear of stories of, you know, people finding out late in the piece before the teams come out, they get a phone call, or they organise their parents to call them and say, you're going to be playing, you're going to make your debut. So then forwarding from that, you know you're in the 22, you arrive at Marvel. Take us through the emotions of that first game. I know it was 2 years ago, just under 2 years ago. But the feeling of, I'm here, I'm now going to be playing a game of A, not pre-season in the rural Australia, playing on the turf of Marvel Stadium against a proper, you know, in a proper match. Tell us the emotions from getting into the ground and then, you know, walking out into the stadium with the club song into the banner and then getting ready to start.
I reckon it was, you know, I think about it now, it was all a bit of a blur in a sense. I sort of remember not being too nervous, and it's probably a thing that's happened over the last couple of years that I haven't actually been as nervous for AFL games as I actually have been for SANFL games, to be honest, which is being weird. And I reckon it's all from the fact is, you know, you put in AFL like pre-season every day, hour after hour, putting in work. So come game day, you know you're ready. And that's all, you know, I sort of thought to myself, you know, you've done the work over the last 3 or 4 months. You've got yourself ready, like you're ready for this. So, yeah, in that sense, I don't think I was overly nervous or emotional. You have the guys around you, your teammates, to sort of, you know, get you up or bring the nerves down. So they help immensely, and so do the coaches and everything. They just obviously try and instill confidence into you. So, yeah, I remember actually not being too bad, and then running out into the field, in front of a, I don't even know what it was, wouldn't have been a huge crowd, probably just under the 20. But we had, you know, friends and family had flown over from Adelaide to come watch. That's probably makes you a little bit more nervous than actually playing the AFL game, is having the friends and family come over to see you. But no, it was an awesome experience and something I'll remember forever.
And like, I remember watching the game because you want to make a concerted effort to watch something knowing there is some sort of invested interest. And if I do recall, it was a relatively close game, which you blokes in the end got over the line. As the season progressed, your form maintained. You were dubbed on footy forums the accountant, paying homage to your former profession. Do you take much notice of that kind of stuff where it's like, oh, I don't know, the fans kind of like me as what I am, as an efficient, good ball user, someone who can play their role and really lock down players. Do you take pride in that, those kinds of like fanfare, or it's just, you know, it's just what it is?
It is what it is. I guess, the name, the accountant, is a bit funny. You know, people, media have been running with it still to this day. I'm in my third year. I've practiced accounting for, you know, since 2018, but they still love to run with it. I guess to begin with, which is fair enough, I was just being an accountant, but I think it gets a little bit old. The boys sort of pay me out every time they see something in the media come out about me being an accountant. They've run that story into the ground. Time for a new story, I reckon.
I think they're done crunching the numbers and they should come up with something a bit more original. I thought Wilkes could probably work.
That one's been around a lot.
So the Saints at that time hadn't really been on the up. They'd been a bit of a middle of the road side, you know, really struggled to ascend to the heights in the late 2000s and the early 2010s. All in your first year, you've played every game up to that point, and then the news comes out that the club had moved on from Alan Richardson, and then Brett Ratten would be taking over. I guess what I'd ask is when did you find out that the club was going in a different direction, and what was kind of the mood in the dressing room? Was it kind of optimism that, okay, you know, it's a new, we know Rats because he was the head assistant coach, or was it more of, with a few games remaining, a few of us are playing for our spots beyond the list next season?
Yeah, probably start off with when we found out. It was probably the morning everyone else found out. We got brought into a meeting. You know, when we got brought in, we could tell something was up. Obviously, everyone probably had an inkling that Richo was going to get moved on. So, yeah, you know, to begin with, it's a bit of a, you know, sour mood. You know, a lot of players, you know, you start to feel guilty because it's on us and our performances. But then again, there's also the older guys who have been there for a long time and had Richo as head coach and probably haven't known too much else. You know, probably start to feel a bit worried about what's to come. So you sort of take that day and sort of, you know, hang around the players and not really do a whole lot, just sort of be with each other, sort of thinking about, you know, what's to come. But yeah, like you said, and then, you know, Rats moves in as an interim coach, and, you know, everyone had a pretty good relationship with Rats. He, you know, sort of mixed a few things up in terms of our ball movement and team defence and a bit of everything. But yeah, it was more those last six games trying to show what we can do for 2020. But it was also just, yeah, trying to just do something different and just enjoy footy and have some fun, which he brought for the last six games, which was nice.
Did it help having someone like Rats, who is a relatively strong figure, but also from the outside, someone who clearly, from his time at Carlton and when he was at Hawthorn as an assistant, someone who really cares about the players? Do you get that feeling of that his kind of warm personality made it a little bit easier to transition for the change?
Yeah, definitely. And he said straight away when, or the day or two after Richo got moved on, you know, like, he doesn't want to change. You know, you get a lot of assistant coaches that, you know, laughing around, coaching, having fun with everyone. But there's also that persona as a head coach. You sort of got to be that hard-hitting, not tough guy, but, you know, making the hard calls. So Rat sort of didn't want to, you know, let that side of the personal side of having fun go away. So that's probably what was huge. He was sort of that, still that fun guy joking around who was an assistant coach, but now he's head coach. But obviously when it did come to make hard calls or be tough and, you know, demand more of the players, he was still doing that as well.
So a tough 2019 as a playing group, but personally for yourself, an important year for yourself because you were able to get a contract extension to 2021. How important was that for you? But also, how did you feel knowing that you'd gone from the rookie draft to playing every game in 2019 to then knowing that you'd secured your future for another couple of years?
Yeah, it was obviously, yeah, awesome. You know, to get another 2 years, you know, considering the fact, you know, when I just got drafted in the rookie draft, there was only a one-year deal, thinking, you know, if I don't impress or show them what I can do, I might only be on for this for 1 year. So then obviously getting the contract just helped me a bit of security in the nerves to calm down a bit, and then sort of allowed me to be a bit more free in terms of, you know, focusing more on, you know, enjoying my footy and getting better, rather than worrying about a contract. So yeah, it was awesome to knowing I was going to spend another couple years at the Saints, which, you know, we always thought we would had an exciting group ahead. So yeah, loved it.
So we head into last year, 2020, and we will touch on the world news. But before that, Rats gets the coaching gig. Heading into preseason, was there a changing of the feeling to your first preseason at the Saints? Did it feel like there was a renewed optimism in comparison to the end of last season, or, you know, what was really the feeling for yourself, and then, you know, entering into what was going to be your second full preseason?
Yeah, obviously, Rats getting the job was awesome because we were getting a head coach that had spent a year or had spent time being interim coach, and everyone had a good relationship with them. So you didn't need to have that, you know, that starting period of a new head coach where you're just trying to get to know them, trying to understand them. So we were able to sort of hit the ground running in that sense. And then I guess, you know, we got five good trade players who we knew were going to add so much to the team. So yeah, there was a huge sense of optimism, you know, a fresh start, fresh change. So yeah, going into preseason, everyone was excited, you know, couldn't wait to, you know, show the league and the world what we had to offer. So yeah, and then in my sense, I was just, you know, keen to get another preseason under belt, get, you know, a bit fitter, a bit stronger. So I always thought that was, you know, probably a bit of my weakness. So that was sort of what was exciting me. And then just, yeah, sort of getting that continuity with the other back line members, another year under the belt, was exciting.
One of the players that had a pretty big impact was Paddy Ryder, coming from the Port Adelaide Footy Club, as well as Dougal Howard. Howard obviously would be in that back six with yourself. They seem to have a very good rapport with the team from the outset, and especially Howard, who I feel his season went under the radar quite a bit. How important was it to have a good relationship with him in that back six to ensure that you would be on the same page when you're playing some of the best in the game?
Yeah, definitely. It's huge, especially, you know, as backman, you need to be on the same page, have that relationship. Doug was awesome. He demands a lot of everyone. But then again, he's also, you know, very personable and always up for a laugh. So, you know, have a good relationship, but he demands a lot of our teammates, which is what you need. So, yeah, I've got a, you know, awesome relationship with him, and it helps on field when, you know, helping each other out on different forwards. So yeah, to be able to, yeah, he had such a good season last year, and he's a bloody good player. And yeah, it's pretty much all I can say. He's such a good player, and to be coming in straight away and make an impact, and the impact he did, he's going to be a very important player going forward.
So 2020, the season's about to start. We get through round one, and it's midway through the round one fixture on the Sunday. Gil McLaughlin announces that the season is going to be shut down temporarily and because of COVID. Talk us through how that felt, being that you've just gone through round one and, you know, you feel like you're about to start, you know, we're starting this long marathon to get to the promised land, that is the finals, and to find out that, hang on, we've only just started and now it's being taken away from us.
Yeah, well, it was funny because we were the last game on the Sunday versus North Melbourne, and when we had started the game, we had no idea the season had just been, you know, put on hold. And we ended up blowing a good lead of about 5 goals and losing by couple points, and then yeah, we didn't realize until we walked down to change rooms that they had told us that the season had been put on hold. So I guess it sort of overshadowed the disappointing performance we had just put on, knowing that, you know, the season was getting put on hold. Don't know if it was going to come back because no one knew what coronavirus was going to do to Australia. So yeah, it was a bit of a dull and I guess bizarre feeling after that game, especially since the loss and then the season being put on hold. So yeah, it was very uncharted territory for everyone. So it was a bit weird.
So like being from the outside, we've only heard kind of how it went on and then eventually, you know, the AFL trying to come up with a contingency plan of what they're going to do next. Were the club constantly in contact with you guys, telling you what's happening? You know, did they give you set programs in the meantime to kind of keep your fitness base up? You know, what were St Kilda doing for you to ensure that, you know, if the season was to come back straight away, you'd be ready to go?
Yeah, so obviously, you know, we were only allowed to train in groups, I reckon, at that stage. They obviously gave us programs. Everyone took weights from the gym so they could set a little home gym up and keep fit. But yeah, they sent programs out. I think you were only allowed to train in groups of two or five at some stage. I can't even remember. Now it changed so much. I ended up going back to Adelaide for that period. Which was good because Adelaide was obviously had less restrictions than Melbourne. But yeah, they constant contact with us, let us know what was happening. But I guess, you know, they didn't really sort of have an understanding until just before they'd probably make the announcement of what was going to happen. So yeah, no, they club did a good job in terms of, you know, keeping in constant contact with everyone. We had meetings, we reviewed the game, we had a lot of contact, which was good considering the fact is you weren't allowed to do too much. And then yeah, well, I think it might have been almost 2 months, so yeah, it was good by the club for doing that.
Were there any guidelines set by the club in terms of what you could and couldn't do, or were you just more or less adhering to what kind of the health authorities had said? Do that, you can do this, but you can't do that. What were you allowed? What could you do and what couldn't you do?
I think at that stage, in terms of the break between round one and probably when we started training again, I think we had a couple of weeks before round two started. I think that was just keeping under the state guidelines and protocols, I think. But by the time we had started training again, I think that's when the AFL restrictions sort of came in terms of no going to, like, sitting down at cafes, sort of that sort of stuff, not allowing anyone into your house that wasn't obviously family that you live with or people that you live with. So, yeah, in that sense, it was, you know, we had a few more restrictions than general public at that stage, which, you know, wasn't too tough, to be honest, well, for me. Anyway, in here, not in Melbourne, not having family and such. So, to be fair, it wasn't too tough. Everyone's sort of just excited to get footy back up and running. But yeah, during that first lockdown period, I don't think there was any restrictions placed upon us.
So I think it was a good, you know, 6 to 8 weeks had passed, and then the season's back on in a reduced capacity with a kind of English football style fixturing where we were going to see midweek games and this massive big footy bonanza of just football every single day for a good period of time. Talk me through how, once you'd found out what was going to happen, knowing that you'd be heading up to North Queensland in Noosa, which for people who don't know is a lovely part of the country up there in Queensland. Tell me how it felt knowing, okay, the season's back on, we're going to be hubbing, and basically the thought process of, okay, now we're back on and let's get the show on the road.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think we played 2-3 games in Melbourne before they made a decision for us to go up to Queensland. And we're thinking those couple games, it sort of looked like Melbourne was, you know, doing not too bad. And then it all obviously started to escalate pretty quickly. And then I reckon they probably only gave us 4 days notice until moving up to Queensland. Originally said we were only going to be there for 31 days, which when you look back on it, seems stupid that any of us believe that. But that's just obviously the reality of the situation. So, yeah, no, obviously, you know, it was a bit of a weird time for everyone. You know, it was a bit overwhelming, obviously, for a lot of people with families and such that they would have to leave behind. A lot of people have a lot of young ones, staff as well. So, yeah, it was quite a stressful time for everyone involved, probably more them than others. So, yeah, but then again, it's obviously what needed to be done to keep the season going.
How did you adjust to bubble life, knowing that you were kind of restricted to the confines of where you were staying? Was it a swift adjustment? How did you view it as an experience?
I sort of, you know, sort of have to look at glass half full. You know, there's obviously a lot of cons in terms of, you know, not being in the comfort of your own home, sort of, yeah, restricted in terms of things you can do. You sort of try and just latch on to other people and just try and have fun. That's sort of the way I try to deal with it, is just try and have fun in spare time with mates of what we could do. To help the fact that we were winning games helped a lot. But yeah, it was obviously, you know, a stressful time for a lot of people. The people that obviously weren't getting a game each week had to play in these scratch matches that, you know, ultimately didn't go towards any premiership points or anything. Maybe had to make up numbers for another team. You know, they put in a lot of hard work and effort for not a whole lot of reward. So people like that, you know, a lot of people didn't enjoy the experience. And obviously people with families as well that were back in Melbourne who probably eventually came up, you know, it was probably tough for them. But I was probably lucky in the sense that, you know, I could spend time with teammates and enjoy that. So, yeah, I overall had I guess, pretty good and fun experience. So I tried to just, you know, I could either be up in Noosa playing footy or lockdown Melbourne. So that was sort of the way I looked at it. And that sort of just, you know, kept me going.
It's a pretty good mindset to have, all considered. There was a lot of from the lovely media. They kind of portrayed it as it was like a glorified holiday. Players had all these requests, and you know, were being very demanding. Was there anything that you kind of asked to have up in the hub personally, or were you just like, I'm just happy to be here, footy's back, and everything's all good?
No, there was no sort of requests I had. I don't know if there was any requests from any of the players of the team, but yeah, we sort of had a pretty good in the resort in Noosa. So yeah, no, there was no requests as far as I'm aware of from the St Kilda Football Club. So that's probably a good thing. Or none that the general public know about. So yeah, no, I was just enjoying being up there and, you know, enjoying that the footy was actually getting played.
Absolutely. And as a sports lover, it was great as a selfish person to be like, okay, good, there's more sport to be watching. But it would have been rather different in a way, being that early on in the season, the first few games before going up to Queensland, you're playing in front of nobody, empty stadium, like Marvel, the MCG, just completely empty. How was that as an experience? Because I could imagine it would be a lot different in comparison to, say, 20, 30, 40, 50,000 screaming Saints fans. Was that an interesting adjustment for yourself? And how did you deal with the concept of basically playing in front of nobody?
Yeah, it was a bit bizarre, to be honest. A bit eerie, you know, when running out onto the ground, almost, you know, felt like a trial match that you're playing. So, but in that sense, and then on the other hand, you can hear everyone. So the communication factor of being able to talk to players, and especially obviously as defender, it's crucial. So in that sense, it was good. But, you know, you want the fans there. They bring the hype. They bring the atmosphere. They also probably bring I guess, a faster, natural gameplay, because, you know, you're listening to the fans as you're going. They obviously bring that atmosphere. So, yeah, I guess the first couple of games almost felt like, you know, it was a lot slower. People not going through the motions, but because there was those no 10,000-30,000 fans screaming, you know, the pressure and the nerves obviously died down a little bit. But yeah, and then I reckon when we started to play in front of fans up in Queensland, you know, the 2,000-5,000 fans that were allowed in almost fell like 30,000, because, you know, they were making so much noise and sort of weren't used to it by that stage. So that almost felt another weird adjustment going back to fans. So yeah, it was bizarre. Everything was that in terms of that. So yeah.
Did it help being able to kind of play in the same two stadiums for a lot of the season, you know, playing between the Gabba and Metricon? Did you find that it was easier to kind of adjust the game plan to the ground, because the dimensions of both grounds are relatively different, and of course one is more of a coliseum? Did you find it, as the season progressed, it became a lot easier to implement the game style that you wanted to produce?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we played the Gabba was sort of became our home ground. Reckon, yeah, it's sort of, I think, yeah, it became a lot easier to sort of understand how you wanted to play after playing there a few times. Obviously, it was pretty new ground for a lot of people. I don't know if many people actually played there before from our team. So, yeah, it took a couple of games to get adjusted in terms of, you know, just finding your spacing on offense and defense. It's because it's such a wide ground, the Gabba. You know, it became hard to defend to begin with in terms of against different styles of gameplay. Geelong gave us a touch up, and they're a very high possession kick catch team, and with such a wide ground, it suits their game style perfectly. So they can, you know, chip through you and cut you up that way, which they did to us. So that gave us a good lesson in terms of how to adjust to that ground. Metricon, on the other hand, I reckon, was sort of maybe a more normal type ground. I thought Gabba was a lot like the MCG in terms of how wide it was. But the Metricon was sort of just your stock standard, I guess, in a way. So and that sort of helped us. I think we had a couple of good games there, which also helps you, I reckon, if you've played a couple games where you've won. You know, it gives the confidence that, you know, you can win here again. So yeah, I guess two grounds that we probably played a fair few games at when we normally wouldn't, which then again probably gives us a good advantage going forward into future years, which then again all the other teams played just as much footy there. So poor Gold Coast and Brisbane probably don't have that home ground advantage as much anymore.
Oh, that's probably maybe less so for the Suns. They need the advantage in some way. 10-7, that got you into the finals. The first time the Saints had made a final since 2011. Only your second season. First final, you're playing the Doggies at the Gabba. Just talk, if it's not just a blur, because I can imagine it might have been for a good period of it. Can you talk through the day itself? Because it's you know, every kind of person will talk about how, oh, it's just another game, but to a lot of other people, it's a finals game. You lose and you're out. So, and then you just return home. Talk us through the day for you, how it felt for you to know that you're playing your first finals game, and then the game itself.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously, yeah, not just another game, but that's sort of the way you've got to approach it in a way. You know, I try to approach it like it is just another game in terms of keep the nerves down, in a way, but then sort of trying to have that edge that, you know, this is do or die. Like, you know, you got to put everything out there, because if you don't, you're going home and you don't want to go home. You want to keep winning. So, yeah, you know, the day sort of goes long, considering it was a night game, I'm pretty sure. So, yeah, until, you know, you sort of step out there and the first ball's played, you don't really, you know, it's finals game, but until, you know, the first 5 minutes where it's hot, it's contested, it's quick, it goes up another level from the regular season. That's when you know you're sort of, you know, you're playing finals footy. And then, yeah, to obviously get the win in such a close game, you know, we nearly blew a lead, about four goals maybe at three-quarter time. So it was nice to hang on, you know, and win a final, which we haven't done for a long time. So, yeah, no, it was an awesome experience. Obviously, yeah, something I'll never forget, winning my first final. So, yeah.
And luckily, as we saw as the season grew on, that the government in Brisbane were enabling more people to go in. So did you really get that feeling and that buzz that this is so much more different to just a regular home and away fixture?
Yeah, definitely. There was way more fans there than the round before. The last round we played there, I can't remember what the numbers were, but it felt, you know, twice as loud, twice as many people there, and that sort of, yeah, when it did hit as well, running out, knowing, I guess, how many people there. There probably obviously weren't that many people compared to games we might have played last year, but, you know, it just felt like that because of the year that had been. So, yeah, that obviously added the extra element, that, you know, the atmosphere of it. So, yeah, it was awesome that the government had allowed more fans in. It just created, you know, that extra atmosphere.
The following week, not so great. You play the eventual premiers in Richmond. What makes them so difficult to play? It came very evident early, sadly, that yeah, they just had another gear that a lot of teams in the comp just don't have.
Yeah, I mean, they're just sort of so dynamic. Their speed from contest to contest, their reaction time, just another level above everyone else. And yeah, that first quarter, they obviously jumped us pretty hard, which we obviously weren't able to claw back. But, you know, we sort of held pretty strong right to the end. I think we're only down by, you know, 17, 19 points, I think, at some point in that last quarter. So, you know, after that first quarter, it was sort of good knowing that we could hold it up with them and keep up with them. But, you know, they're a quality outfit, and there's a reason why they won the premiership and won the last three out of four. They, yeah, you can really tell, especially from that first quarter, they're just ready to go. And they're just such a strong group, you know, from their best player to their worst player. It's very, you know, consistent group, obviously. Everyone chips in, you know. They obviously have the superstars, but they've also got the role players that perform their critical role week in, week out.
Absolutely. And if I do remember, you were playing on Dusty for a chunk of the game. He gets obviously the massive hype because of his quality, big body, big powerful footballer. I'm going to go into the mind of Callum Wilkie on the ground. You've got Dusty. How do you try and play him and try and, you know, try and beat him in a contest, or, you know, there's a loose ball? What do you find is the best way to tackle Tustin Martin?
Yeah, it's a good question. When someone figures it out, let me know. But yeah, I actually didn't play on Dusty as much as I thought I would. That game, I don't think he spent as much time forward, and considering we were down Jake Carlisle for the game, I had to play more key on Rewalt. So I spent a bit of time on him. I've spent a fair bit of time on him before. But yeah, no, he's obviously a tough matchup, and there's a reason why he's one of the greatest players to ever play. But yeah, you give him time and space, yeah, he's just going to burn you. Even if you don't give him that much space, he's still good enough to create some or create something. So it's all about limiting that, I reckon. As a defender who's playing on him, because, yeah, he's so good in so many situations. He's so strong in the contest, but, you know, he's powerful and quick. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't think anyone's figured out how to play him properly. I don't know if anyone will, but yeah, he's definitely a tough matchup.
Yeah, just leave it with me. I'll do some research on him, and we can.
That would be great.
that's what everyone's waiting for. Don't worry. It's like getting a golden ticket into the chocolate factory. It's so hard to find, and someone will figure him out. That or old age will get him, like most footballers in the end. But so looking back, you know, your last couple of years, you've played every single game. Touch wood. Every single game, 41 games. How do you view your first 2 years in the AFL? Because it's been pretty unconventional when you consider you're, in theory, a mature age recruit, even though you're only 24. Your first season, you know, you saw your coach, a coaching change, and then you go through a pandemic playing footy up in a hub. I mean, that's a pretty unique scenario. How have you viewed your first 2 years in the league?
I guess I probably haven't really thought, you know, too much about last couple of years in a way. Obviously quite eventful. I count myself lucky to begin with, that I was able to play every game, through injuries. You know, Jake Carl was also down before I debuted, so... And Dylan Robin goes down, so there was a spot that needed to be filled. So I count myself lucky in that sense. And then obviously being able to, you know, perform, string some good games together, that sort of, you know, kept me in the team. And then, yeah, obviously last year of pandemic, weird season. So, yeah, I guess it's been a bit surreal the last couple of years. But I don't know, I don't really sort of, you know, dwell in terms of what's happened sort of in the past. It sort of just feels like it's normal. Now that, you know, I want to perform strongly week in, week out. I'm not trying to, you know, prove that I'm up to standard. It's all about sort of, you know, never sort of satisfied with your own, performance and the way you are. You always want to get better. So you don't sort of dwell on the fact it's like, awesome, I've played AFL. You know, you're trying to reach the next goal of becoming better. So, yeah. Yes, you sort of look on to 2021, which is now, and you sort of set more goals that you try and reach. So, yeah, I guess I haven't really thought about it. That's probably the first time I've thought about it in quite a while. So, yeah.
It is quite amazing, though. the fact that, you know, many, many years ago, we were trundling around Paynham versus Walkerville, and now, you know, here we are in a completely different setting. I guess this is where I'm going to have a little bit of indulging before we maybe have a chat on the upcoming season. Is there a player that you've played on at the moment, or this in the first 2 years, that you felt, holy, holy moly, I'm actually playing against this player for a period of time?
Yeah, good question. Probably it might have been, GWS, first time we played in 2019. Might have been like round four or something. More in the sense that I'd been put onto Jeremy Cameron in a way, and he'd just kicked, you know, a fair few goals, and they sort of switched me onto him. I think he might have won the Coleman in 2018, if I'm not mistaken. I'm not too sure. So, knowing how good of a player he was, and then obviously being, you know, put with the task of trying to stop him while he was red hot and we were getting smashed. So that was more the sense of, holy hell, try and stop him while we're trying to stop the team as well, and they're just sort of running through us. Obviously the other greats, I think I remember standing, you know, Gary Ablett at one point thinking, Jesus, that is Gary Ablett. Obviously, you know, such a great player of the game and one of the best ever players. So, yeah, you know, you play against them, you sort of think for a little bit, not really. You sort of just try and get on the job and try and stop them. It's probably, yeah, just those pinch yourself moments that you're in the AFL.
Favourite ground? I mean, you've played on every ground, major footy ground in the country. Most people will say the G, Are you part of the consensus, or do you think that maybe there is another ground that is the king of footy grounds in Australia?
I guess I have two answers to my favourite ground compared to like most loved ground. I sort of, my favourite ground is probably the one we play best at, which is Marvel. Just because I reckon I play my best footy there. And we play our best footy there. MCG obviously is, you know, amazing. We haven't played elite footy there. I reckon we've won one out of three I've played there. So, you know, playing back at Adelaide Oval, obviously loved Adelaide Oval, you know, has great memories for me. Winning the premiership with North Adelaide. I think we played there once in 19 and lost to the Crows, but then going over there and beating Port and Crows, I think it was within 5 days of each other in front of a good crowd was an awesome experience. And, you know, obviously my home city. So yeah, you know, those grounds are probably, you know, the ones I love playing at the most.
I will indulge you on that poor game, because if I do recall, it was close heading into halftime, and then you blokes absolutely smoked them in the second half. And I do remember just sitting around a group of individuals who are all misled and follow Port Adelaide, just stunned. And you could kind of see that the way that St Kilda wanted to be, their identity, which was to play this really good, entertaining, fast style of football, and could turn it on like that, like a switch. You kind of knew that they had the pieces, and that was the game where Ryder and Marshall, where everyone had said they couldn't coexist, played arguably one of their best games as a tandem, and you kind of knew, okay, the Saints are for real this year. And heading into this year, 2021, you know, I could only imagine that there is a lot of optimism that the Saints will go further than they did last season.
Yeah, definitely. There's obviously a lot of optimism within the footy club. Yeah, it's exciting times ahead. We've obviously got a year under our belt. Everyone's got a fair bit older, you know. Well, not a fair bit, obviously, a year. We had a pretty young side, so, you know, it's good to get those boys more experience, more games, and, you know, they really showed what they're capable of. So, and then obviously to bring in two quality additions, well, four actually, with, you know, Higgins, Crouch, and then Frawley and McKernan, who are quality players. So there's going to be a lot of, I guess, not spots up for grab, but competition for spots, which is good. You need that in a good side. So, yeah, there's, you know, good vibes around the club, but in the sense that, you know, last year didn't just happen. You know, everyone put in a lot of work, and it doesn't mean that it's going to happen again. You start from zero, like everyone does. So, yeah, it's not just going to happen. And I think the boys know that as well. I think everyone's sort of, you know, excited for games to come around.
And just to think, at the time of recording this, we're a few months away, but when our lovely listeners will get to listen to this, it'll only be a fortnight away, and we are very, very excited to see that. Callum, you've been an awesome guest. Thank you very much for joining the podcast, and best of luck for the season.
No worries. Thanks for having me, Matt.
Well, what a pleasure it was to speak to Callum about his footballing journey so far. Now entering his third year in the AFL, it is evident that Callum is not only carving out an impressive career for himself, but will play a massive role in the Saints having the chance to win their first premiership since 1966. A big thank you to the St Kilda Football Club for giving me great access, and of course Callum for giving up his time to have a chat. I'll be back soon with the next episode of One on One. Until then, thank you so much for listening to the first episode, and I'll see you next time.